Blog Talk Radio.
Hello and welcome to Access Astrology. We are three astrologers who are fascinated by how astrology unfolds in our daily life and love sharing this with you. This is Heather Rowan Robbins, and I'm speaking to you tonight from St. Paul, Minnesota. And I am normally joined by Ann Ortley and Mark Woltz. We'll see if they come in tonight, but we have a lot to talk about just as it is. Now, tonight, the sun is in Gemini, the moon in Taurus. Jupiter has just risen over the eastern horizon. If you get a chance to look out there, it's beautiful. And we have coming tonight the new moon in Gemini coming up very soon. And we're moving into a quieter, thoughtful moment right before, during a very busy season. With Venus in Aries right now, forming a T-square with opposed Jupiter and both square Pluto. Venus will be exactly square Pluto tomorrow and the next day. And we're aware of letting go of losses. We can be sitting in a fear of this, or just allow the bittersweetness of parting of ways, because it might be the school end of the school year or other products that are pushing us to really notice what we feel and how we feel it. I think this is Mark Woltz. Sorry, Mark, is that you on the line?
Yes, hello, Heather. How are you?
I am good. And I'm talking tonight about was just about how Venus is moving into opposed Jupiter this week and is moving into a square with Pluto as we speak. And that's bringing up a lot of, you know, feelings of loss and emotions. You know, the politics, they announced that, yes, 24 million people would lose their health care, or 23 million under the new policy. It's kind of like we're just aware of what we can be letting go, even in this time of spring when everything is abundant. How are you noticing this Venus-Pluto square?
I think it's showing up also in finance. You know, in the way that finances are feeling a lot of pressure. And I think that's on an individual level as well as in the markets.
I agree. I think that it is very much a part of what's going on. We're also aware of, you know, the power dynamics. Whenever Pluto's touched, we notice, you know, the switch and change around power issues. And I'm looking at Trump and his tour of the Mideast, bringing up some pretty silly moments, but also very painfully aware of the power dynamics. And I know for New Yorkers, the fact that there's been this huge weapons deal with the country from which many of the bombers of 9/11 came from has been really rankling clients of mine. And just remember bringing up all of the feelings of what happened back then. And again, when Venus and Pluto square, we can remember old losses as well as the present ones. I just had a visit from a friend of mine who is moving to Australia at the end of the month, and I'm moving to Montana, and we may never see each other again. So it was a very poignant, sweet moment for us. But it's... But it also helped us, you know, just be in the moment with each other in a good way. So it's interesting to see how this is stirring up.
Yeah, all these
now,
things.
Saturn, Saturn also is in a tight trine to Uranus at the moment. And we see that as shift and changes in security, what we feel is, you know, the structure and safety underneath us, what are the defining moments around us. And I'm, you know, it's a nice trine, so it could be some positive changes, but I'm also wondering about, I'm often whenever I see Saturn and Uranus connect, they're, you know, a series of small earth tremors that allow things mm-hmm. to shift, volcanoes spill a little bit, that the changes can take the pressure off, so we've got a little bit more time. And I think that's true with our lives, too. But people are running a lot of anxiety voltage these days just because there is so much change going on, and we can feel the shifts and moves underneath us. Have mm-hmm. you noticed that?
Yeah.
What's it
yeah,
like
definitely.
On the streets of New York these days?
I would say there's just a high level of nervousness.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's pretty hard to, what was it? I saw somebody said the other day, they preferred the old days when the scary things were the TV shows, not the news,
mm-hmm.
you know,
mm-hmm.
it's like,
mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
you know, I don't know. It seems like the news is designed like a reality show anymore, you know.
Yeah.
And that can be the Saturn trine Uranus.
Mm-hmm.
And
it is
twisted sort of way.
Yeah. What we thought of as security and confidence. So we're going to go to the call-ins because we've had a couple of people in who has written in and called in and that we weren't able to get to before. So I'd like to try a couple of those. And I want everybody to know that you can call in 347-215-8881. And when you get in there, if you want us to speak to you, you have to raise your hand by pressing 1. And that will help us. Now, I have a question here from one of our clients in Europe. And born August 24th, 1972, and Eskişehir, Turkey, Eskişehir, Turkey, around 9:40 a.m. And her question was, I lived in the U.S. for 20 years and moved to London last summer. Her ex, who was hardly involved with his son's life, wants the son back in California, where I used to live. But I love my new job here in London, and I'm thinking of hiring an attorney to ask the California courts to give me permission to live in the UK with my son. Because she doesn't give me the son's information. And so where will the work flourish, and how is she doing? And what I see with that chart of Virgo, Moon, and Aquarius with a Libra rising, Venus at 15 degrees of Cancer. And so there I feel the pain that she's going through is Pluto opposing her Venus, and it's going to come back one more time or a couple more times to do that. So I don't think this problem is going to be settled easily. And that, you know, always worries me when I see the back and forth of the Pluto transits. It doesn't mean that she will lose her son. It doesn't mean a sudden decision. And we haven't heard what her son believes. I see that her progressed son is at 14 Libra. So Uranus is just going to come back to that. Her progressed moon is at 22 Libra, and Mercury at 27 Libra. So Uranus is going to come back and forth, changing her mind, changing her home. But she's only a year into a progressed lunar new moon cycle. Sounds like she moved last year, just at the beginning of a new 30-year cycle, and I don't see her moving back. What do you see out of that? Do you have any input on that?
Yeah, I think the key to the situation that she's in is that Pluto opposing
mm-hmm.
Venus, and there will be a lot of back and forth and, not very certain
mm-hmm.
the way things are going. So she has to prepare for a long, drawn-out back-and-forth sort of battle with it and just keep the focus on what she needs and,
mm-hmm.
Work with the people that can help her.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And, avoid
any
sense of manipulation. If there's a feeling that there's manipulating or triangling, move away from it.
Mm-hmm. I think you've got a good point there. And being in England puts Mars closer to the ascendant for her, and it's asking her to be independent and carrying their life forward. And I also want her to really think about, she didn't tell us how old the sun is. I want to think about what it would be like to split time with the sun and let the sun go back and forth.
Mm-hmm.
That would be cheaper than hiring lawyers. And it may be that the sun needs some time with her husband. And even though she said her son wants that if the son, once you're 14, you can usually make the decision for yourself as her son whether he wants to go back and forth. Or where does he want to actually come forward? Because that's what I'd like to see is where would the son do best here?
Mm-hmm.
I don't see her going back. I think she would be happier and healthier in London. I think she's, I'd like to see more details on that if this was my personal client, but I'd love to see her stay on target and slow this process down, let the son get involved, possibly get a counselor and ask for mediation with her husband to find a way where he's not feeling cut out, but he probably doesn't want to spend that much time with the son, but doesn't want to be out of the son's life. Is what
mm-hmm.
I'm picking up. And
makes sense.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that makes sense.
And if she can find a way forward and imagine there could be a win-win situation. This is her moon in Libra, Mercury in Libra, Sun in Libra, Uranus in Libra by progression. Mars and Libra, that finding the midpoint, finding a balance, finding the win-win in this, and she's the only one who can do it, and it won't be exactly what she wants, but it may be the best way forward. So I'm really pushing for mediation, a neutral therapist to talk to her son and get his impression and report back to the county.
Mm-hmm. And just expect it'll be a process.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not going to, and it'll actually be better for everyone involved if it's not a winner takes
mm-hmm.
all.
Mm-hmm.
Good.
And it will be interesting to see what comes up from that. So, do you have any astrological observations have you noticed a pattern in it in your clients coming in lately? What are they feeling? What's the weight on their soul with the recent transits?
Well, basically a sense of uncertainty.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it reflects what's going on, in the news, basically.
Mm-hmm.
And there is a lot of shifting going on in the sky. And that's, you know, so things keep moving.
Mm-hmm.
But it's not at all clear. There's not a clear path.
And that is, how do they stay in this kind of state of flux and anxiety where the, you know, Venus and Aries and Uranus and Aries are pushing us to take action whether we're ready for it or not. And to
right.
kind of stay on target and stay less reactive and move forward with grace. So that will be an interesting part of the process here.
Right.
Now I see one person on our line, but they have not raised their hand. So if you want to be on the air, press number one. If anybody else wants to call in, call
in
347-215-8881. We often have a long list of people, and tonight it's fairly quiet, which is lovely. Part of the dark of the moon tradition.
Right.
You know, as far what I see. And that we get a little quiet time, even though the sun is in Gemini. Now, have you noticed any earthquakes or tremors in the news? I've noticed just a little bit of one around volcanoes, but I haven't seen as much as I would like. Have you?
Hmm. I haven't noticed anything large.
I think that the subtle earthquakes, subtle earth tremors that I'm seeing, it reduces the tension. And that's what I'm trying to use as a metaphor for both my clients and myself, is lots of little shifts, lots of little shifts can prevent the big one.
Yes.
So I have a couple of people here on the line who've raised their hands. We're going to give them a chance.
Okay, this is the...
Hello, 613. You're on the air. How can we help you?
Hi, it's Aeolia. I couldn't resist the invitation, so I nice to talk to you. It's February 14th, 1951.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
And time?
Chicago, 9:06 a.m.
9:06 a.m. in Chicago.
Right. And I
and what's your question?
I think this new moon is very... what degree is this new moon at? I've forgotten.
The new moon that's coming up, hold on, is at 4 degrees of Gemini.
So close enough to be a moon return for me at 3-something Gemini, right?
Yeah.
Yes, it is.
So can we look at that as a...
Your lunar return. And we
yeah.
can also just look at your chart and with transits and progressions, but because I don't like to take a lunar return out of context with the bigger patterns. So your progressed sun is born Aquarius with a Gemini moon at 3 degrees of Gemini in the second house. And right, less than a year ago, your progressed sun went into Taurus. Mercury is now in Taurus, and Mars are in Taurus by progression. Natally, you have a lovely lineup of planets in your 12th house, North Node, Jupiter, Venus, and Mars, and Neptune is sitting right on your Jupiter in the 12th house. And that can really open up your sense of the possible. It can be rather magical, that aspect.
Yeah, Chiron just put over the cluster, the stellium, and now Neptune.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm.
Mm-hmm. So
and,
I'm open to whatever speaks to you.
And your progressed moon is now in Scorpio. So
yeah, there's a
when I look at the lunar return back to your second house and on an eclipse, and I would wonder with Neptune sitting on your Jupiter and the eclipse, but the new moon sitting on your moon, how are your finances at the moment?
I'm about to pay off my mortgage.
That's wonderful.
Mm.
That's a new beginning in your financial section, isn't it?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know,
I never thought I'd have a mortgage, much less pay it off. So.
Right. So that's a whole new beginning of a whole new financial cycle as this new moon hits your second house, your moon in the second house. And it's your moon, it's your mortgage, it's your house that's
mm-hmm.
being paid off, which is lovely. And your moon rules your fourth house cusp, so that does directly relate to your house, to having your house and having it yours and the satisfaction of it. And I think that looks like it really leaves you feeling much lighter with that Neptune opposing your Jupiter in the 12th. Like, you helps you have trust and faith in some things and just belief that good things can happen in a way that you might not have before.
Mm-hmm.
Or it's concurrent with that. Isn't that, what do you see, Mark?
Yeah, it is a, there's a good sense of optimism for you now. Like, things are unfolding and opening up into comfortable places.
Yeah, Go ahead. Well, I was just curious about Neptune over the whole stellium, because then it's...
Mm-hmm.
Mars and Venus and North Node over the next, I haven't looked, a couple of years, I guess, right? At
yeah.
least a year or two.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
Now, and it's an opposition, so there will be some confusion, and it will be, it might possibly bring up some health conditions.
It's a conjunction to the stellium.
Right. And when it's happening with that, in your 12th house of health, you know, Neptune can make something mythic. It can bring out the myth of Jupiter and then the myth of Venus and then the myth of Mars in your chart. So you might read up on each myth as you live it and say, how is this applying? How do I operate on faith but not on illusion? How do I bring my ability to imagine that things can grow without feeling that it is a problem? Now, you have Neptune in your sixth house natally, just at the very edge, opposed to your sun. When, you know, it can bring, you know, Jupiter in the 12th house with North Node in the 12th usually implies good long-term health, but that you might feel unusually sensitive to feeling vulnerable or permeable. And with that conjunction, may notice that your sensitivities, your psychic sensitivities, has an echo in your physical sensitivities and leaving you more either with allergies or just, again, you can be sensitive in a positive way and find energy medicine, subtle remedies, homeopathy, flower essences, energy healing affect you in a good way, or you can feel cluttered up by, you know, feeling too permeable to toxins or just pollens or other people's psychic stuff. So it can be very rich, great for meditation, retreats, for inner work of any kind. You just want to watch that you are conscious about your permeability and feel permeable to spirit, but not necessarily to other people's toxic stuff. Mark?
Right, and realize that spirit connects you to others, but in very loose and uncontrollable ways. So,
paradoxical as that may sound. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, you got to keep a sense of humor about whatever develops. And, kind of accept the sort of clownishness that some things will show up, especially when the Neptune is touching the Mars.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it'd be better to experience more of a clownish interaction than one that you're not reading correctly. You know, was it because you're overly optimistic or something about it?
Well, so, I know I really felt it over my son. Well, first it was my Mercury, and then it was my son, and it retrograded, and it was a long transit over my son. I really felt that, and it's left some channels open.
And how did you feel it?
Well, some days, you know, some days I could barely get out to the garden. And other days I couldn't even get out to the garden, but it took me a long time
because
I just felt so Neptunian. I just felt so
awash.
Expanded and awash. Yeah. And what is left in its wake is you know, I always had strong intuition, but I hear, well, I joke that it's the angels whispering to me. I hear them much, much louder. And when I was younger, I would sometimes just not pay close enough attention. And now I can't help but pay attention, you know.
Mm-hmm.
It's wonderful that you pay attention. And also remember that, you know, just because something is non-corporeal doesn't mean it's wise. With Neptune, it's easy to pick up, you know, if people can pick up spirits, but they can also pick up other energies that can be confusing. So you just want to, you know, notice it and then sort it out with your guts and your intuition, your logic, along with the intuition.
Mm-hmm.
You know, to pick it up and then listen to the wisdom of it for yourself.
Yeah, give things time to develop, because what they appear to be on the way in is often not what they're going to end up to be. So, you know, let things, especially new things or new people, give them a little chance to show their full dance.
Yeah. Don't give in to the illusion, huh?
Yeah, exactly.
Right. Notice it. It also, with Neptune on Jupiter in the house of health, I would say to keep an eye on your blood sugar, and to the more evenly you eat, the healthier you may feel. That it's easy to have, you know, our blood sugar go off or become a little hypoglycemic, even temporarily.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and that's with Venus there too.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I mean, they're all so tightly connected to each other.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
And they're all at the apex of a yod too.
Mm-hmm. And with Jupiter and Pluto. So we're getting, we're time to wrap this up tonight. Just feel that new moon on the new moon that's coming up for all of us in Gemini, a beginning in a new way of thinking or a new communication system or a new cycle of potential in our lives. Let's use that well and take that feeling. Just notice that our nervous systems are running a little high. How do we keep them calm enough so we can hear our wisdom underneath? And this is Heather Rowan Robbins signing off from Minnesota. And Mark, do you have any last supportive comments for the people?
Well, I guess, you know, we can extrapolate that from talking with our listener right now. You know, kind of watch the full dance. There's a lot of invitation to get excited right at the beginning of something, but let it develop before you really believe you understand the whole thing. There's a lot of sort of false starts going on.
Wonderful. And take care and have a great conversation with each other this weekend. And we'll say good night. Take
good.
Care.
Have a good move for Heather.
Thank
okay.
you.
Yeah.
Getting started. Bye.
Okay. Bye now.